John Doggett, and I'm the CEO of the National Corn Growers Association.
John, congratulations on being named CEO of NCGA. First, tell me a little bit about your work through the association and its importance to you personally.
Well, I started here in 2002 to run the D.C. office, and I've run the Washington office since then. And last Friday, the board took complete leave of their senses and appointed me the CEO. I'm looking forward to it. This has been an enjoyable job for a Montana ranch kid. And I've thoroughly enjoyed myself. I've learned a lot, and this has been a good organization to work for and a lot of great growers to work with.
Given your familiarity with the organization, what, in your opinion, are the primary roles of the CEO?
The primary goals of the CEO is to lead the staff to implement the policies that have been established by the growers. And that's something I learned a long time ago. This is my third Ag Trade Association. I work for the National for the American Farm Bureau and worked for the National Cattlemen's Association years ago. But, you know, my role is to run the staff, and we've got a great staff in two different offices here in Washington, D.C. and in St. Louis, Missouri. And we have a lot to do.
How does the current ag environment shape the direction of NCGA and impact the work that you and your staff continues to do? Because as we're all aware, commodity prices remain low, a lot of uncertainty surrounding trade and policy. So how does that impact the next 6 months, year, maybe 2-3 years, John?
Well, certainly, you know, we have a lot of growers who have raised some serious concerns about their own particular personal situation. We know that times are tough out there, but I'm a big believer in staying with the basics. Do fewer things very, very well before we start taking on more in new programs. That's an easy thing to do when you want to show folks that you're doing something. You know, you come up with some new programs. But we need to do the basics very, very well. And I think that's the most efficient use of the checkoff dollars that have been invested with us. We also need to be listening. We need to listen more to our grassroots. We need to listen to our grower leaders. And we really need to listen to our state affiliates. There's a lot of great talent and wonderful resources out there in the state associations. You know, we can leverage one another's resources and talents and do a lot more for the growers that are paying the bills.
It's probably safe to assume that you're a big fan of ethanol. And as you think about the still untapped potential there, if we see higher blends of corn ethanol going forward and how policy can really dictate that, are you comfortable with where, say, the RFS is at right now, John, with who is heading EPA? I mean, as you look at that policy and its significance to corn farmers, what are your thoughts?
We've been very, very disappointed in the actions at EPA. They have granted waivers in secret to refiners and to the tune of 2.25 billion gallons of ethanol demand. That's an awful lot of corn. That's 750, 800 million bushel of corn. That really has a huge impact on our prices. And it's concerning when the president made a lot of noise during the election that he was going to support ethanol. He's made a lot of noise since then. He's talked about increasing or to waive the RVP for blends over 10%. That would include E15. Still hasn't happened, and those promises have been made for months and months and months. We've seen significant demand destruction, and we haven't seen promises met. So we need to get this on with this. This is something that the president can do. It does not cost the taxpayers anything, and it would certainly send a good signal to the marketplace that corn ethanol has a good, strong place in our nation's fuel supply.
Now that NCGA has had an opportunity to digest the market facilitation program and the penny per bushel payment calculation that the USDA concocted, I know from seeing news releases, NCGA disappointed in that too, and there is the potential for more payments going forward. So will you continue to work with the Department of Ag to get what you feel would be a more fair compensation to the trade disputes?
Well, certainly we will continue those discussions with USDA, but there is no compensation package that will undo the damage that has been done in our trade environment. Our folks don't want a check from the federal government. They would like to see open markets. We would like to see restoration of the markets that we've enjoyed in the last number of years. And we want to get some new trade deals going. But those things aren't happening. So too much of the conversation has gone around how much money who's getting. And instead, we need to be talking about building new markets and keeping the old markets as viable as we possibly can.
And the last thing I have for you, John, when you talk about new markets for U.S. corn, where primarily are you looking? Where do you see the greatest potential?
Well, you want to go where the people are, and certainly the marketplace in the Pacific Rim is very, very important. Huge number of people that live there that are looking to moving into the middle class. They want more protein. They want a better diet. And Africa is another place where we can probably be doing a lot more business. And then, of course, India is the second largest nation in the world as far as population goes. We would like to see increased trade there. We have many, many opportunities to develop new markets. But right now, when our current markets are in peril, it's pretty hard to go ahead and center in on how do you do new deals with new nations.
John, anything else you want to make sure we talk about today?
Well, I think it's important to remember that this is a year divisible by two. And in the first Tuesday of November, we're all going to go to vote. But members of Congress are going to be back home, and they're going to be very accessible. And they certainly will be paying attention to voters. And we would like to see farmers and ranchers out there talking to their elected officials, telling them what some of this situation is about and what it's doing to those farm and ranch families back in rural areas. It's time to speak up and start demanding some action. We don't have a farm bill done. The current one expires in about 11 days. So I think that members of Congress need to be hearing about some unhappiness from folks back home.